We're here with Little Karibo, one of, I have to say, the catalyst for our friendship.
Yeah, seriously?
Not joking.
It's
my fault.
The world's going to blame you in about 10 years.
Wonderful.
In 2008, we were seniors in high school, and we had our last period of the day was a free period, and we were all in theater, so we all stayed in theater. And we went in our dressing room and just watched. It was up to like episode 18 at the time.
Yeah.
So we watched up to episode 18. And the part that we're all just like, we have to laugh for about 3 hours. And the teacher actually come and say, okay, if you guys are going to stay in here, you have to be quiet. Was,
I'm hungry. Oh, yeah.
That's what cemented our friendship, was actually because of the work you've done. I want to thank you for that.
No, thank you guys for telling me that, because I always hear these stories, and I always feel like at some point they're going to just become like a regular, they're going to be like normal to me, but yeah. it still blows my mind when I hear things like, you know, the show has brought people together, like in friendships or relationships, or it's brought them out of depression. And I don't ever want to get used to that. I want to always be like, this is the coolest thing ever, because it is the coolest thing ever, that just throwing this stupid video on the internet and doing some voices into a microphone has had this stupid like snowball effect that it's out of my hands at this point, but it's in a great way. It's really cool, and I'm glad you guys. That's really awesome.
There's only one moment when we all hated you, and that was the April Fool's special.
Yes.
So upset.
But I do have to say, I'm glad you're back at AACON for another year.
Definitely.
And just, it's awesome being in the same room as you.
Oh,
it was awesome getting to talk with you for 30 minutes while we wait for an elevator. That was honestly the shortest line I was at AACON. But
they're doing much better this year, though, I think. Like,
oh, yeah, they learned. I actually been talking with Mary, the owner of AACON. She's like, yeah, we learned from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. We made sure to take down everything.
It's a lot more impressive, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I don't get the chance to watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z at Bridge. But your role as Frieza was amazing.
Oh, perfect.
And I saw the clip you released of you doing Ginyu originally. Mm. And
what if I was a giraffe?
that was absolutely beautiful, but
oh my God.
Did you have any kind of inspiration for your Frieza voice?
I had a bit of a vague inspiration. I had never really watched Dragon Ball Z like religiously or even like on a regular basis at that point, but I knew the Frieza character just from osmosis, because he's sort of synonymous with anime villains. Like when you think of Dragon Ball Z, you think of Goku fighting Frieza for like 20, 30 episodes or so.
That was all 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
In the show.
But and when they talked to me about potentially considering me for the role, it was this big deal to me, because I knew they'd gone through like 3 or 4 different people, all really great people, like the guy who plays Vegeta and Piccolo, Lanny Pator. He was originally in line to play that character, and obviously he's so talented, and the only reason they didn't end up going with him, I believe, is because they realized that if he were to be cast, the season 2, like the second half of season 2 of DBZ Abridged, would just be Lanny Pator talking to himself the entire series.
Yeah.
But when they came to me and they said, we'd love you to play this character, I was like, that's a big deal, because a lot of people are going to be waiting for this guy, because aside from Cell, he's the strongest villain from DBZ almost. So I took it on my shoulders, and I was like, I have to look at this guy and really think what he would sound like, and what would work as not necessarily just a joke character, because he does have to be threatening in order to have any kind of, in order for there to be any stakes involved. And bless those guys, because they respect the source material, and they treat the story with as much weight as you would expect a great writer to treat as any good story. They just happen to be really, really funny when they're doing it. And Frieza, I sat down and I looked at him and I thought, he's this little, when he's in his first form, he's this little small creature, and I, I guess I played around with the voice, and he sort of got like a Mokuba kind of quality. He's a little bit up here, but then I made him British and a little more sinister. So he's a British Mokuba with sort of a Napoleon complex,
yes.
I think is what I was going for with the whole thing.
And he is a little brother, so I mean...
That's right. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
I actually had the great opportunity. I can't remember his name right now. He's in my phone book and here, but the guy who played Cooler in the little movie special they did.
Team Four Star?
Yeah.
General Ivan.
Yeah. Chris Cooper. Yeah, I met him last year. I don't think he's here this year.
He is?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. I'll probably see him walking around late at night again, but I had a great chance to talk with him, and we just talked for hours about voice acting because I absolutely adore voice acting. They know that. A lot of people who listen to the show know that I love voice acting, and what you guys do is truly amazing.
Thank you. It's crazy when people tell me that, because the reason I got into the whole abridging thing is because I not so much from the acting. I love acting, but I love doing silly voices. Like, I'm doing a panel on Sunday called Voice Duels, where I bring people up on stage, and I tell them, you know, very straight up, you know, this isn't about, you know, giving an acting performance. This is just about doing a silly voice and making people laugh, because I love doing that. I love eliciting a laugh from people.
Yeah.
But as far as the acting goes, I never really considered myself an actor for a long time, especially with Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, because if you go back and watch those old episodes, there's not much of a performance going on. It's just, I'm doing a silly voice.
No, I'm doing a silly voice.
I'm doing a really silly voice.
Tristan's my favorite.
It's so weird.
Actually, yeah, that was another point. When you kill Tristan, voice, that was another part where we were
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
But at least you had Reborn the Monster.
Reborn the Monster. It's such a weird Who wrote that? Who looked at that card and said, Reborn the Monster? I don't know.
But in all honesty, just doing the silly voices, like, we do silly voices to each other all the time. We do it, but we were thinking of originally doing a bridge series ourselves, but again, we had other things we were focusing on, but
it's a the big fact time sink.
It is, yeah. But the big thing that you took it, rolled with it, and have, I don't know if you're making a complete living off it, but you're at least making some money. The fact that you can do all this, get to go to conventions, it's really cool from something you just started doing in your spare time.
It's definitely something that took on a life of its own. Like I said, when I make it and I put it online, it belongs to the world at that point. It's not mine anymore. And the fact that so many people cared so much, including you guys, to spread it around and share it with each other, it that's what gave it the life and the... It changed my life as a result, because just so many people were so passionate and gave so much back to me,
yeah,
as far as support and, you know, just it, like the feedback and everything. It really gave me the confidence to go out there and really, you know, not so much promote myself, but just promote the series and just share in the enjoyment, because I'd never really experienced my fans in person until about 3 years into the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to YomaCon in Detroit.
I remember you had a video or someone said something about it, and I went and looked into it. And afterwards, I noticed that a big, huge spike of your fan base just went off.
Right,
and it just grew, and then we watched it from the very beginning, and I love it.
Appreciate
it. It's gotten us through the bad times, it's helped us with the good times, and we quote it all the time. We bug our parents, our friends, our family, my girlfriend, we bug everybody with it. Because it's just so, it's that important.
It's honestly timeless to us.
Oh my god. Even though it has like Borat references in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, a good performance can make anything timeless.
Yeah.
And I'm not... I know you weren't doing much of a performance in the original one, in the original episodes, but still, just the way you did those voices is so timeless to us. Like, we mimic Tristan all the time. Like, we absolutely love them. Real quick, I know our friend Brunson here would like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, there's the one that, because I'm on Twitter.
Yes.
I tweeted you a couple times.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten responses to you. And pretty much any time it's like, hey, it's my birthday. And you're like, you're awesome. You're like, you're really good about that. What would your life be without Twitter?
I mean, I'm kind of, when I'm an introvert, And I don't use that term lightly. I feel a lot more comfortable when there's nobody around. But Twitter is sort of my way of communicating with people, even like without having to deal with, you know, social interaction so much. So that's basically, when I'm on Twitter, I'm having a great time. I'm talking to people. I've tweeted some crazy stuff. The thing that blows my mind is how much people like get excited for certain events, like E3's coming up next week, and I tend to live tweet those conferences, and people were like, I got like 300 to 400 retweets of some of the tweets I made during the conferences, and it just blows my mind that, you know, that I'm not supposed to be a personality. I'm not supposed to be like a celebrity. I put that in quotations, but I always assume people care more about the series. But whenever I'm just tweeting like it's me, people care, and I'm always very grateful for that. And I do like to keep in touch with people and hear about their birthdays and stuff like that. So yeah, I without Twitter, I'd be completely socially bankrupt. it would be awful. I'd be very depressed.
Be expecting a birthday tweet this coming Friday, because I my birthday's on my lucky day, Friday the 13th. So
oh, I'm doing a ghost hunt on Friday.
Oh,
the
you are? Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a Hollywood ghost hunt. So it's like in North Hollywood in downtown, and it's going to be interesting because they're going to give us like PKE meters, and we're going to go around looking for the.
Oh, that is really cool.
That's cool.
It's pretty sweet.
Were you upset when Seth Rollins betrayed the Shield, as everyone else on the internet was?
Did that happen just recently? I haven't seen Raw yet.
God.
You just spoiled it for me.
I'm so sorry.
What is wrong with you?
No, it's
you?
Fine.
So, okay, yeah. So
what happened?
Real quickly, like Batista quit, and he
for real did he quit?
Well, no, he's going to do Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
So, but he was like, I'm not getting my title, you know, goodbye. He actually waved like this. It was very
princess-y.
Like very princess-y, very princessy wave, and everyone was chanting Blue Tista. It was great. And then Triple H said, don't worry, there's always a plan B. At the end of the night, Seth Rollins nails Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose with chairs.
That's pretty great.
And everyone's just like, what? No. I was heartbroken because I was like, no,
the Shield, like, seriously, they've been on a tear recently.
Especially with Brian out, they've been great. I mean, I love Daniel, but they haven't, like, I haven't noticed because there's been so many good matches.
And we don't really need that more heels at this point, honestly.
No, there's, well, I'm a big 90s wrestling fan. I love the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah.
I love Stone Cold Steve Austin, Steve Nash, Buff Bagwell, you know, Scotty Too Hot, all that random, crazy wrestling.
Madness.
And now we have too many heels,
mm-hmm.
not enough really. Pop, I mean, Cena, of course,
mm-hmm.
face, but the
baby
faces
face.
That I miss, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Honestly, my favorite thing about wrestling right now is the Wyatt family. I love those guys. I mean,
is it the Duck Dynasty guys?
When they first came out, that was honestly the first thing I thought
honestly,
of.
Yeah.
It's the crazy redneck, I'm going to eat you people, right?
Basically,
I don't know if you ever like watching the pay-per-views, but like Extreme Rules.
I saw
that. Yeah, with his match with Cena, the ending of the match, because I was like, what's going to happen? And then it shows the little kid just in there, and Cena's like,
that was interesting.
That was very interesting.
I haven't seen like mind games like that since like Raven and ECW.
Oh my god.
Raven was like one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, I got this question for you because you watch WrestleMania.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to the Undertaker losing?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I understand it. Honestly, they paid off it since then really well with Paul Heyman, like doing the My Client Brock Lesnar. That's the best part about it, and I've enjoyed that a lot. And Cesaro's great. But the match itself was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just because Undertaker is past his prime at this point, and maybe we couldn't have had a good match. But if he's going to lose to somebody, lose to a full-timer who isn't just going to walk at a moment's notice, and lose to somebody in a good match,
see,
my opinion.
See, that's why when we watched the WrestleMania together, and we had this game.
Mm.
We had this list, and it was pick who wins, blah, 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 you get points.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, Triple H is going to win it, because Triple H is always my dad's favorite, my favorite. And when Undertaker beat him, I was just shocked, because I was like,
it was crazy.
If he'd have lost there, I would have been happy.
Mm.
Like, if he'd have lost and not made it to 20, but
I would have loved for them to bring, like, the rumor that everyone's talking about is them bringing Sting over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That would have been a great final match for Undertaker. But Brock Lesnar, I mean.
The contest you talk about, we always, like, a year ago, I started a thing where whoever wins it, I have a championship belt, like a replica, like a super heavy, like
real
crazy
one.
Belt.
Yeah.
And whoever went, like, my brother won the Royal Rumble challenge, and he challenged me for the belt at WrestleMania, and he won. And this past year, I won our Royal Rumble challenge, and I'm like, I'm taking the belt away from you this year. I'm coming back. And it came to that match, and we're all like, you know, we checked, all right, you know, Undertaker, okay, we got this. And then the match is over. The match is over, and we're sitting there like,
what?
Basically, from what you like, saw in the exact, audience.
Like, the meme of the guy that's like, his eyes just bulging out, and we're, that's just like how our whole room is, and we're just like,
I'm actually going to use that meme in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged episode.
Yes!
There's the season 4 episode where Yami duels Raphael
yeah.
and loses, and it's
no! I just
can't believe
that. When I watched the show, I didn't like that arc, but when I watched that show,
that's the shock.
I don't think anybody liked that arc.
He was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, that was, oh my goodness.
I got one for you. It's my two favorite characters are Bakura and Matic.
Right.
So the funniest part for the whole thing for me that made me laugh my butt off is the day he showed me leather pants.
Oh, yes.
And dear God, I was in tears. I went home and watched it, sang it, was just walking around the house, just leather pantsing it up. What made you want to do that? Did you just, you were just like, I'm just going to throw this at him and see what happens? Or
that was my attitude with the Brooklyn Rage song. Poker Face was a big deal, and I was singing it to myself just because it gets stuck in your head, you know?
Oh, it never
and
goes
then,
away.
Yeah, and then I was like, just what rhymes with Poker Face? I was like, Brooklyn Rage, Brooklyn Rage. And then I was like, I have to do that. And like you say, I was just like, I'm going to throw that out there, see what happens, because I like song parodies, I'll see if I'm any good.
That was phenomenal.
And it was like 6 hours of work, and then it just exploded. It's like 3 million views.
The moment you put it on there, like the next day I came back and I was just like, it's everywhere. It was so good.
The leather pants one, I really wanted to do a follow-up, but I didn't want to just do it for the sake of doing it. I wanted to have a really, like, a great idea for it, rather than just force, like, you know, square peg into a round hole. And I think I was just thinking about, like, all the Lady Gaga songs and what would be a good follow-up. And I think Bad Romance was, like, the huge song that came after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, like, what situation I was in or if I was trying to think of a song at the time. But I remembered there was an episode where Marek duels Yami using the puppet guy, the mime.
Yeah.
And strings, that's what he's... Yeah, that's right. And... He in the abridged version, Marek's like, I'm going to steal the source of your power, and Yami's like, oh, my Millennium Puzzle, and Marek's, no, your ability to look good in leather. And I just thought that would make an interesting subject for a song.
It was literally the perfect way.
Real quick, my favorite song you ever did was actually with Shady Vox when you parried Hip Hopopotamus from.
Yes,
my God, I've listened to that so many times, and you both work really well off each other.
Oh, it's funny you say that, because we actually recorded those completely separately, but I think it's just that he has a lot of charisma, and I think anytime you put him with anybody, it sounds like
I have a quick question, though, because I've always wondered this. Whenever you're doing something with someone that's really far away, you're doing projects separately, do you send your audio files over so they can work off it? Like, do you do a line... Then say Shavox as Jaden has to do a line. You send that whole line before that so he can react.
Jaden.
He probably does do a line. But but like I'm saying, like, do you have like a whole line?
Saying, do we send the audio and then they listen?
Yeah,
to
basically, do you react off of it? Kind of like what voice actors do at Funimation, where they. The previous actor will have been on there so they can react to that.
Right. It's not really like that for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how other abridges do it. I know Team 4 Star, the way they work, Kaizen Echo, the director, he gets you on Skype, and you'll have the script in front of you, and you'll be reading it into the mic through the Skype call, and you'll be recording your end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And basically, he reads the dialogue as if he's the other character.
Okay.
So you have a performance to play off of, but it's not the performance that will be in the episode. With me, I'm not quite as... I care more about whether the joke is funny with them, whether the performance is great. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it doesn't. I don't think it's better or worse than the way anybody else does it. I just feel that's how I'm comfortable doing it. So I just record the audio, and then I tell them to record their audio in one go and just send it to me, and then I just splice them together.
Okay.
That makes it even more impressive, because the fact that you guys are each did that separately and it came out so well.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, sometimes
really
it's just very fortunate happenstance that it works out.
Yeah.
They're probably going to come in just a second. I just have one question, a really serious question to ask. It is fun to snuggle with Nostalgia Critic, as I imagine it is.
It's the best. He will remember that, so I don't have to.
Oh God! I just got that. Poor man.
He's a great guy. Like I mentioned this on the panel I did yesterday, but he always goes out of his way to come, you know, talk to me and like see how I'm doing. And he's never watched any of my stuff. He's a nice guy. That's all. He's just a really great guy.
Yeah, Doug seems like a really good guy.
Really down to earth. Really intelligent.
One last question.
Great guy.
Do you have a short question, or are we going to wrap up here? Or actually, do you have anything you want to say? That'd be nice. Let you say, do you want anything to plug anything?
It's fantastic. You got that from Shark Robot, right? I appreciate that. stuff that I want to say. Thank you so much for even caring enough to watch more than one video in the first place. Because I really, I've said so many times, it made such a positive change in my life. And to know that there are people who are still just as passionate about it, and there are people who care about the guy who does the silly voices, it means a lot to me. And it really shows, when I was in dealing with depression, a lot of people would be like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know if your life is going to make a change for the positive. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I believe that, but anything can happen. Like, you can do something that will send your life off in a completely different direction, and it can be amazing. And it showed me that if I'd ever given up on myself or on, you know, other people, then this wouldn't have happened, and good things wouldn't have happened, and you guys wouldn't know each other, and that would be tragic.
They're right.
So.
Anyways, it was great getting to talk with you, Martin. You're a very awesome guy. We look forward to seeing you again, and we look forward to seeing more episodes.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm showing a new one this weekend, and you'll be seeing it soon.
All right. Sweet.